episode of Vicious Chats. Hopefully you guys recognize me, Tim Vicious. With me for this is the Danny DeVito to my Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've known this dude for forever, Bengus, but can't give you that kind of introduction. You see, I've been waiting all week to give you this kind of introduction. So if you'll allow me.
Yeah, man.
I had to give you that one kind of pop, man. How you holding up, dude? How you holding up, man? Yeah. It's been a minute since we talked.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time since we've been on a call together. A very long time.
Yeah, it was I think the last one was back in like 16 or 17. It was with Kenny's show. For those that don't know, a mutual buddy of ours, Kenny Jagway, he's on the guest list also. I'm going to get Kenny on here at some point, too.
Yeah, it's been Sunday Segway days, that would have been, yeah. And I'm good. I'm really good. Obviously, a lot of change since then. One thing being the hair, leaving the head and onto the face. Yeah, I know you know that.
Hey, you see, like I said, we're twins. At twins at this point.
And then, yeah, I mean, I've been called worse than Tim's twin. I've been called worse than that. I'll take it.
All right, so right off the bat, want to ask you, new project you're working on. You hit me up on it. Give a quick rundown on it. You guys, you know, I listen to the stuff you guys are doing. It's really good. I dig it, you know, and it hits pretty much all the same things I do. It's a whole lot of nerd talk. So I'm just going to stop now and give you the platform.
Yeah, man, thank you. So I've just entered a new podcast with a couple of buddies, Ryan and Ryan. It's called Talks with Dorks. So you can view that on YouTube, Talks with Dorks. Everywhere else, you're looking for Talk Dork Podcast. So that's on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. And yeah, we're just a few guys who are chatting about wrestling. We're talking about movies. We're talking about geekdom, fandom. We're going into fantasy booking land. We're creating our own comic books. And yeah, it's just, Power Rangers, definitely some Power Rangers thrown in there. And yeah, it's just a couple of guys, like-minded guys, who want a platform to chat nerdy shit.
Yeah, man, I definitely dig it. You know, and listening to you guys, it had me thinking like, okay, if I was making a character, what kind would I make? And it was an idea of one I had back when I was like 14 or so. It was kind of like a mix between a Punisher and Batman, but he doesn't want to kill unless he absolutely has to. And when he does, it beats the it hurts him morally, and it constantly drags him down into great, and he beats himself up over it.
So that, there's a lot of parallels to Batman with that, because in some Batman lore and in you know some verticals, whether it's the cartoon or whether definitely the Adam West, you know, he's very much against the kill. In other stories and other media, Batman can throw down, end a couple of lives, unalive a few people.
Yeah, and I've always made the argument, Batman's one of my absolute favorites, and my favorite Batman story of all time, I don't know if you ever read it, The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller story.
I've read zero Batman. In fact, I'm on a Dork podcast, and I've read no comics in my life, apart from a couple of Power Ranger Boom comics. Comics were never my thing. Right?
I'm a bit flabbergasted. Like, you've never read not even so much a comic, but like, you've never even like read a Batman one at any point?
A Batman, a Superman, a Spider-Man. A Dennis the Menace, you know, just
not even like a little Archie one that was like at the end of a register.
So in England, we would have our tabloid papers and they'd have a few little cartoon comic strips in. I think that may be the closest I had to a regular comic. I was just never into it. But this is kind of what makes our podcast a bit special is we're three different guys, very like-minded, but with different interests and different age range as well. So we're talking about things from a different perspective. We're teaching each other about each other's little fandoms. So, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, I kind of find my fandom, one, in wrestling, cross-reference that with Billy Gunn, of course, and then nostalgia. 90s nostalgia is like my thing.
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug, man.
Oh, it is. There's nothing like it. And, you know, as wrestling fans, you know how important nostalgia is to us.
Yeah.
A lot of fans will harp on and say, oh, no, you know, old guys taking new guys' spots and all the rest of it. Well, when you're in an arena and it's 20,000 full and they're losing their bollocks because The Rock walks in, tell me what's not working.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I was actually, we were just wanted to ask you about that. Let me ask you, because I see a lot of the wrestling talk just from my end on the U.S. side. Mm-hmm. First things first, I want to ask you, how'd you guys take the news with, one, the TKO merger a year ago, and also, how'd you take to the news about the Netflix deal with WWE? Because, and I'm only referencing WWE because that's a mutual company we both watch, and I don't know if you watch AEW or not, or...
Well, in and out, and to be honest, I get most of my AEW catch up from Simon Miller and the crew at What Culture. I don't have a heck of a lot of time between work, the twins, my eldest daughter, you know, starting this podcast and, you know, spending time with the missus. There's barely enough time to watch anything, let alone another, you know, 2-3 hours of wrestling a week.
So
TKO WWE merger, it was news.
I think it was like the day hell froze over, almost like a day hell froze over, because everyone on the USM was like, wait, what? He actually sold the company?
I think that was the biggest part of the news was, as a wrestling fan, growing up through the 80s and 90s into the noughties, WWE and pretty much wrestling was hand in hand with the name McMahon.
Yeah.
You know, he might not be a household name. So like my mum, for instance, like she might not know the name Vince McMahon. She knows Undertaker, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, and all these big stars. But she does, even though she wouldn't know him as a character, so she would know Vince McMahon, but she wouldn't know Mr. McMahon. So even the fact that, you know, like people who don't watch it and only know about it through their kids or through their family or just through general pop culture, the fact that that's done with now, no more McMahon in WWE land was a wild, wild notion.
Especially and with the news that broke a couple months ago. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. It's probably for the best that he's not involved now, because that probably would be a company shutdown. If not, like, you know, complete, like, it would dissolve into something less than Impact, maybe. You know, people wouldn't want to be associated with that. But yeah, it's, I guess, you know, putting the scandal aside, which I don't do lightly, it's, you know, very, very, very serious and doesn't need to be taken lightly. But from a fan's perspective, having McMahon step out, huge, huge news. Being a sort of like hardcore fan, a long-term fan, this is some of the most exciting days. The fact that it has changed hands, it's changed hands into someone who can hold it, who can write it, who can run it. And day in, day out since McMahon left, we're onto new pastures now. Like, things are looking really, really good. Rock said it, wrestling's cool again. Matches are matches. Storylines aren't flipped and changed in the middle of a show. Like, I think a lot of us are getting what we finally wanted after moaning for 5, 10, 15 years.
Yeah. It's definitely a huge, you see the huge paradigm shift. I know some people say that the shift came when at 38, it was 38 when Cody returned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, some say that you could see the visible changes at 38 when Cody returned. You know, honestly, me personally, I think this whole new era, and this is going to sound a little weird, I think it kind of started back with the lockdown stuff when they were in the Thunderdome, when Roman Reigns started having Paul, when the camera zoomed out and it showed Roman Reigns sitting next to Paul Heyman, like, yeah, whoa, is he, and he's with, oh my God, did he just sell his soul to the devil?
That like was that a new kind, day.
Yeah. I think that's like that. I personally, I think that's where the new, this whole new era that we're in now first germinated and started. So how'd you guys take when you heard the news about the Netflix deal about pay-per-view or not pay-per-views, Raw coming to Netflix? And I know you guys get the pay-per-views on Netflix, right?
No.
Oh.
So
I missed right that information then.
So there's a lot of differences between our broadcasting systems and yours. To be honest, as an Englishman, I don't quite understand all the terminology you guys have. Like, I get it, you've got cable TV, which I'm guessing is a bit like our Sky, which is a digital broadcaster that gives you all the channels that are
for the most part
regular TV. Yeah.
Yeah. So because you get you got cable, which has all the premium channels. You know, you get like your USA Networks, your NBC, your news channels like CNN and MSNBC and all that. And then you got your basic one that have like network channels like CW, Fox, and these new and the new ones that they've made like MeTV and all.
Okay, so your network TV is what we call terrestrial TV. It's what we had, like channels 1 to 4 before we started getting Sky. So WWE's always, bar like 1 year, it's always been on Sky. So it's always been on digital TV. And we used to get our pay-per-views on, and it was, so it's kind of pay-per-view. So Sky you have to pay for separately, much like I'm guessing like your cable setup. It's, you know, you pay your provider. So we would pay that monthly bill and we would get Raw, SmackDown, Heat, Jacked, Shotgun, Livewire, all those other Saturday shows. And then we'd get the monthly pay-per-view on Sky Sports. Then after a few years, Sky Sports dropped the pay-per-views and Channel 4, which is a terrestrial TV, so that would be like your network. Channel 4 picked up a handful of these pay-per-views. The last one, infamously, Channel 4 had was Royal Rumble 2000, where Mae Young got the puppies out. And that was, and that was enough for Channel 4 to say, yeah, we're not doing this anymore.
Made me laugh so hard, almost popped my earbud out. For those that can't see it, it's a skull candy. Good ones, check on them.
So Channel 4 ditched the pay-per-views. They did have a caveat of saying that we'll run the pay-per-views, but we need it with like a 10 or 15 minute time delay so we can cancel out Mae Young's puppies if that happens again. So then once it went back to Sky full time, it was a few years, and then Sky's got its own pay-per-view channels embedded in the packages. So you've got Raw, SmackDown, and then all the other Saturday shows on Sky Sports, and then Sky Box Office, which is like a premium service where you can get like new movies and what have you. That took the pay-per-views for the longest time. Then it was when the network came around, really. We still had the pay-per-views on Sky Box Office as a pay-per-view, but then we had the network, which was only a tenner a month. Or you could, this makes no sense. Sky Box Office was showing the pay-per-views at £15 for one show. So you're paying for your Sky subscription to get all your weekly shows and then £15 per pay-per-view. Or you could just pay your £10 and get it on the network plus all its other background stuff. So that's the way it's always been for the longest time. Now we're getting it on Netflix. you know, we will pay anywhere between, I think the bottom band on Netflix is £5 a month, which will have adverts, up to, I think I'm paying about, I think that £14 a month. That's for like 4K HD Netflix, and then you can give accounts to your family members. So the fact it's going on there, still going to save me a whole bunch. I'm still not going to have to pay Sky because it's all on my Netflix now. And also Netflix is, as I say, it's only, you know, between £5 to £20 a month, whereas Sky TV, to have the sports channels on, I think you're looking at like around £40-£45 a month. So as a wrestling fan, I know there's a bunch of other wrestling fans in the UK who buy Sky Sports just for wrestling. They might watch the odd football match, or, you know, some international sport or whatever. But a lot of wrestling fans I know will buy Sky Sports just for the wrestling. Now they can save £30-£40 a month by just having it on Netflix. This is amazing news for us. And it increases the accessibility as well, because not everyone can afford Sky. I think there might be a few black spots in the UK as well, where Sky doesn't receive as good a signal, so you can't have like the best picture and what have you. So yeah, this is really, really good news. And as a sort of like product, amazing. How many people have got Netflix, will be scrolling through and be like, oh, that wrestling stuff's on here. Oh,
you can go ahead and curse, man. You can go ahead, curse. I forgot to give you the rundown on your do's and don'ts. Like, you know, okay. Like, yeah, if a curse just comes natural, go ahead, let it out.
All right, so they'll say, oh, look, this wrestling shit's back on here, right? So there you go. And then, yeah, that might open up some casual fans. It might open up some old, lapsed fans. Like, it's a great time for it to happen as well, with wrestling being so hot. The only worry I have about it, and this is just purely me thinking, I've not read or heard anything about this, of this being the first signs of division within Netflix. So, you know, I'm just piping on about how great Netflix is for your like 15 quid a month, getting all this content, amazing. But now they're getting live sports. Does that mean somewhere down the road that they're going to say, okay, you like your WWE, you like your live sports we're showing? Well, that's an extra £5 a month now to get your sports. Or is it now going to be like, oh, here's £10 a month, and now that pays for your kids' Netflix? Oh, and, you know, £5 a month, that will give you your exclusive box office Netflix to the new films and movies. You know, it kind of gives me the worry that Netflix is going to go down the road of every other media provider and saying, well, let's milk it for as much as we can. And they need to recoup their whatever $1 billion they've spent on WWE.
$5 billion with a B.
Do you know what? I was about to say $5 billion. I was like, no, that's ridiculous. Yeah. There's no way.
Dude, I still am flabbergasted when I read those numbers, like $5 billion. And I personally, I'm very much so a delusional optimist in a lot of ways. I'm hoping for the absolute best with this, because, and I'm thinking right now, because aside, nobody is really talking and hyping up the Raw move in January. Right now, everyone's talking about coming up in July, Mike Tyson's fighting Jake Paul, and that fight's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you about what your thoughts on that in a minute, but I'm looking at the fight coming up in July almost as like a testing ground, sort of, if you will. Like, okay, well, we've put golf and we put racing live on Netflix. So let's see on how people take the combat sport. My dad was really big into boxing when I was a kid. So, you know, I remember seeing Tyson fighting when he was in his prime. And I remember it was 90 or 90, somewhere like between 90 and 93, I think, when Buster Douglas knocked him out. And I was little. And I just looked, I was like, whoa, did that just happen? Like, have you ever seen any kind of boxing like that? And also, what's your thoughts on the whole Tyson Jake Paul thing?
So I'm a real casual boxing fan. So I understand who's sort of hot and who's not. I understand who's going against who. I don't watch every single event. But yeah, I think, again, much like WWE, it's a great move for Netflix. more people on Netflix than they are on Sky Sports or TNT Sports, so it's a good move for anyone. The thoughts about Tyson and Paul and KSI and whoever else is in this like new era of boxing is cool. I think it is what it is. It's an evolution. Some people aren't going to like it. Purists definitely won't like it. Okay, you can't please everyone. But this is entertainment now, isn't it? Like, boxing has taken a pinch out of WWE's playbook and gone, okay, we're going to be a bit of a circus. We're going to put the bells and whistles on this fucker. We're going to build it up on social media. We're going to have celeb endorsements. We're going to have celeb appearances. You know, would I be hecka surprised if one day TKO has got their WWE branch, they got the UFC branch, and then they've got a boxing branch as well, all under this huge like, sports entertainment umbrella? No, I wouldn't be shocked.
Hey, nobody thought WWE would ever get sold in our lifetime, and then let's mm-hmm. look back a year ago now, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to happen.
I'll tell you this. I've been looking at like the training videos from both guys, and I'm not really I can't break down the science on what like on like, yeah, this is good, that's good. I could just tell you straight up, just being a South Philly kid, having been in growing up street fighting, I don't like Jake Paul's fighting style because his arms are out too wide. He keeps lifting his feet up when he punches, and he keeps moving forward every time he swings. And I'm like, yeah, you're making everything an open target, dude. Whereas Tyson's got everything close and locked in. And I know from firsthand experience, you keep everything locked in, you're putting a lot more energy towards a punch when you throw it.
But yeah, and there's the circus element, isn't it? Tyson, okay, back in the day, a lot of people said Tyson wasn't a boxer. They just said he was a monster with gloves. But he is a boxer. And he is definitely a boxer when you compare him to Paul.
God, yeah.
Could Paul kick my ass 6 ways from Sunday? Probably. The guy's stacked and jacked, and he spends a lot of time clearly in the gym and the boxing gym. So, yeah, like, am I going to profess that I'll work him? No. But the thing is, like, Tyson is that monster. Whether he's a boxer or a monster, whatever you're labeling him as, he's been all kind of weight class champions. He's beaten men that are shaped like tanks. The guy looks like he could eat a fridge. Like, there's just and he, how old is he? 60?
58 going on 59.
And he moves like that. And yeah. That's the other thing as well, is the experience. He's
got a lot of muscle memory.
He's got a lot of muscle memory. And I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he's been almost retired as long as Logan Paul's been, as Jake Paul's been alive, right?
Give or take. I mean, the last legit big fight outside of like a few years ago, the last big legit fight he had that I can recall the memory was like 97 when he took a bite out of Holyfield's ear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I
think he did a handful of like indie ones after that, but after he was recommissioned, but he never really got that big, big limelight after that. But yeah, I'm thinking that this fight is going to be like a testing ground. Like, let's see on how people take to combat sports.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. And it's going to be a change. There's going to be new content. And I feel like with TKO getting on board, obviously that will probably by default bring a couple of UFC numbers onto Netflix. Like I said, they've done racing, they've got F1, they've got golf, they've got tennis. You know, there's a bunch going on Netflix. And like I say, the only worry I have is that it causes a package deal where, you know, I'm paying my 15 quid for regular Netflix, and now a year or two down the line of their $5 billion contract, they're like, oh, you like this sports stuff? That's an extra £5, £6, £7 a month. And Again, okay, that's better than it's better than Sky. It's even cheaper than the network. But it just kind of feels like, you know, they get you bent over a barrel, and you know, what are we going to do about it? Piss and moan and then pay it.
Yeah, because honestly, cable here in the US, it's going the way of the dodo slowly. It's dying a slow, agonizing death. And I don't know if you ever saw anything I ever said on a Rants show, but when I talk about cable, but honestly, the only two big things that are keeping cable alive at this moment are live sports, are the news and live sports. Only reason I got cable in my house is honestly because my son, he's 14 going on 15. He's big into basketball. You know, he watches every game you can, he watches whatever game he can. And he's always like, "Hey, dad, I got a game at such and such time. Can I go watch it?" "All right, go ahead." And I got cable because need the news. Other than that, I would have just gladly signed up with the USA app, signed up with the Fox app, signed up with TBS, and then bing, bing, bing. That way I can get the wrestling and then all the other stuff, you know. I mean, just cable slow, die. God, yeah, talking fast, I'm thinking cable is
PC
dying
fandom.
a slow death.
And it very much the same here, because one, because of the expense, two, because a lot of what you can get on Sky is elsewhere.
Streaming, man.
And and it's yeah, it's got its exclusives, but I really in my circle of friends and people in my age bracket, no one's talking about like, oh, did you see that thing on like, you know, name exclusive Sky channel here? Like, did you see that thing? No, like people are
Yeah, there's
talking
no
about things
more.
that are on streaming apps. So like even so like our terrestrial TV, so we got channels BBC One and Two, which you'll be familiar with BBC. We got
Yeah.
ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5. BBC's got iPlayer, so it's got all of the BBC content on there. ITV, Channel 4, and Channel 5 have got their own streaming services as well. So it's not like you even need terrestrial TV. You can just catch up on demand. And there's a whole bunch of shows on Sky as well, which aren't, I don't know the legal boundaries of it all, but they get broadcast on Sky first, and then you can find them here, there, and everywhere a couple of weeks, a month down the line anyway. So it's like big dice, like, why am I going to pay 70 quid for to see something first that is with adverts that you can't skip? Ah, forget all that.
Yeah, my mom, she watches the BBC channel here a lot. So she'll see that and she'll see a lot of the stuff on the news over there too. So I get all that. There's big differences as you see that. So let me ask you this. I know we're both big on the nostalgia, more so into the 90s. So gotta ask you, did you see X-Men 97 yet?
I've not seen an episode. I've seen the trailer.
Ah, dude, the first two episodes are out. You gotta see it when you can. Highly recommend it.
Well, that's the thing. It's the when you can, you know.
Yeah.
It
And that's
is on my
that goes
list.
back to what that goes back to what we were talking what you were talking about before about lack of water cooler talk, so to say. Like, hey, did you catch this show on last Friday? You know? Now with everything being on streaming, it's yeah, the episode may debut on Friday, but hey, if I'd miss it. It's okay, because I'll watch it on Monday.
Yeah, you just got to steer clear of like you say, the water cooler conversation, the people in the workplace chatting about it. You know, you can make your disclaimer like no spoilers. You can sort of dance around it, you know, online. You know, when's a spoiler not a spoiler? If you haven't seen it after 2 weeks, is it really a spoiler anymore? You know, you do that dance. But for me, cool. Like I will watch it when I can. I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. I love the animation style because it is literally just a cleaned up version of what we had in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, from what I've seen and what I've seen from little first boys on Twitter X is it's been desexualized. You know, Rogue's not got that massive bunda anymore, and you know, some cleavage has been covered up and like.
A lot of people were getting mad because they were saying Rogue wasn't thick. She was only thick in the one scene with her and Apocalypse.
Yeah,
that's it. Other than that, no. And everyone and a lot of people I saw were mad as hell because Morph is non-binary. But and then I seen a lot of people going on about that, and I just went straight up comic book nerd on him. Like, he's a shapeshifter. He can change his sex and gender anytime. Morph could change their gender anytime they want. So if he wants to be a guy, he could be a guy. If he wants to be a girl, he could be a girl. If he doesn't want to be either, he doesn't have to see himself as either.
What's your big non-binary?
Yeah, exactly. You're a shapeshifter. I mean, they did in the comics a few years ago. I know you weren't saying it, but I don't remember. I know it was some time ago. They redid Nightcrawler's story to where Mystique, instead of actually giving birth to Nightcrawler, she was actually his dad because she morphed into a guy.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's no different than like some of the stuff you'd read in like Norse mythology on how Loki wound up fathering several different kids and was a mother to another.
Oh, see, yeah, every day's a learning day.
Well, you see, there you go. You learned something. You learned something here on this show. Glad you were able to. So that aside, you know, you're big doing the nostalgia. Got to ask you also, I saw a lot of people giving a lot of backlash when the news broke about a year or so ago when they announced the new Doctor Who. I can't remember the guy's name. I saw the episode when him and David Tennant, when he did the change, going from David Tennant to the new guy. Have you seen any of the new Doctor Who?
No, I'm not. And again, this is... So I do enjoy Doctor Who. Don't get it twisted. So if I went round your house and you've got it on, I will sit through a marathon of it. For some reason, I just never put it on myself.
I've watched it consistently since I was like a kid.
Mm-hmm. So you're going back to like the whenever it started, like the 70s, 80s series, right?
Yeah, they would have the old 70s and 80s ones on like PBS and the free channels here. And I would just, as a little kid, watch it and just be like, whoa. And then when they brought it back in the 2000s, like, oh, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah, so I caught quite a lot of it when it did come back because, yeah, it was a show that became newsworthy because it's such a institution in England, in Britain, you know. It's very quintessentially British, which I'm really intrigued to get your opinions on it, especially being a kid watching it, seeing, you know, what your thoughts were on that. But yeah, I watched it when it got sort of rebooted, re-released in the early noughties. And again, you know, I've got nothing against it. It's just, it's not something that I choose to put on, especially with such limited screen time that I've got. It's not going to be something I'll put on. More than happy to watch an episode at your house, my mate's house, my uncle's house, my mum's house, whoever's got it on, I will sit through it. I'll sit through episode after episode. But yeah, to touch on that outrage of, you know, having a black gay actor or character as Doctor Who, it's just what we do. Like, I don't know if you've seen the news over here. So the England football team, I'm not going to say the S word, the England football team, has got a new shirt on, and we've got the flag on the back, our St. George's Cross, which is not the red, white, and blue that I'm guessing some cousins across the pond might think. The England flag is different from GB. So the England flag is just a white background with a red cross. Okay.
But like the Union Jack.
So yeah, the Union Jack's made up of another learning for some people here. So the Union Jack is a combination of the English flag, the Scottish flag, and the Welsh flag. The Welsh flag is very hidden in there. But yeah, the main red cross you see in the Union Jack with the red, white, and blue, that's the England flag. So England is just white with the red cross. So on the back of the England shirts, on the players' shirts, on the back of the collar, there's a small St. George's cross, which is just meant to be the red cross. but they've changed it. So I'm not sure whether it's to include, it might be everyone. I don't know if it's sort of like a LGBTQ move or a, like all inclusive for race, because Britain is very much a multicultural country. So the England flag's got all different colours in it now. People are up in outrage. You can't do this to a flag. You can't do that. This is our flag. It means unity. And, you know, it's just a bunch of bigots who are like, no, this is my flag. This is the way I have it. And England is not patriotic towards our flag like America is. I know you guys have got laws about when you can hang it out. You got to bring it in from the rain. You can't tarnish it. You can't, like, write on it. We don't have any of that as a law or as a belief system. So people banging on about my flag, my country, you're just doing it because you're a prick. Like, no one's that patriotic about the flag here. What they are is against whatever it stands for, whether it's all inclusive for race, whether it's all inclusive for sexual preference or gender identity. People got a problem with this whole new, you know, thing going on, you know, and that, you know, same with the Doctor Who. Anyone that's outraged by it, they're not outraged that there's a gay doctor. Like, why does that matter? They're not outraged because it's a black doctor. Why does that matter? No, they're just outraged because there's a black guy who's gay who's playing Doctor Who now. I bet you penny to a pound of pig shit, half the people that are pissing and moaning about it don't even watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, and I've made that argument, like, because what was it? When they did two specials with David Tennant, one of them had this alien called a Meep, and they brought up the fact that the one girl he was helping was trans and non-binary, and the alien didn't identify as any kind of gender. And a guy was going on, and I saw this guy going on and on about on Howard Strong, like, dude, it's a show. And not only that, if you're going to get mad about an alien, you're using human logic. Let's just put it in perspective. Yeah. You think that alien is going to identify on how you think and you act? And then he started going, it was just, yeah. But yeah,
nonsense, can you?
Yeah, you can't teach. It's like trying to teach a pigeon on how to play chess. At the end of the day, all they're going to do is just knock all the pieces over and shit on the board.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, honestly. What's up, man? It's been great having you on. I appreciate it. Message me with your links on there. I'll make sure to put them in the description. Give the folks a quick rundown on where they can find you and all your and all that good shiznit that you're putting out there.
So for me myself, you can find me on X, Twitter X, Tony.
It's Mama named it Twitter. I'ma call it Twitter.
Yeah.
As they say, coming in America.
I can't believe they've changed it to X. I can't believe that. What's X meant to mean? No, you can catch me on there. You can catch me on TikTok. Tim will know. I used to spend a hell of a lot of time on Twitter. But that migrated over to TikTok. I'm now a TikToker. I've got a large base of content on there, more to come, which again is Tony of Bingus. I would appreciate a like and a follow and all that good stuff. And then the podcast, Talk with Dorks, you can catch that on YouTube, Talk with Dorks podcast, and you can find them everywhere else on Facebook, on Insta, at Talk Dork podcast. And that's my deal at the minute.
Thanks, man. Folks, it's been the Ass Man himself, Bingus. Of course, I'm Tim Vicious. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this. And, well, folks, like I always say at the end of the show, you love me great, you hate? Well, you hate me or Bingus. Fuck yous.